in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want the money.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. Somehow, she's AV fighting with the board this morning, but she won the battle, it appears. In the so I told SS if we wanted to renew, and you said up yours, and it said up yours back. Is that what happened? AV?
What?
The machine asked you if you wanted to renew, and you said no, and it says, well, see if I work then.
Yes, and I made it work.
Okay, uh-oh. You willed it to work. You smacked it.
Yes.
You hit it with the hammer, as they used to. Yeah, the old tried and true method. So, the S&P futures down 350, Nasdaq futures down 250. We had a big update yesterday. Market continues to run. We got the Fed meeting starting today, and so then the question comes down, Brendan, is why does this grumpy old dude, the chief, constantly bitch and moan about what the Fed's doing when the market's running up like this?
Aren't you trying to understand what's going to happen?
No, I know what's going to happen because I've seen it happen about five other times. Every time they do, and as soon as they pull back, which they inevitably do because they get afraid of inflation or something, the crash is way worse. People lose more money on the way down than they made on the way up. And it absolutely infuriates me that people that we pay to do nothing but do this, what people like me and Carl and Kevin and you and people on the show do in their spare time, how they don't see it, don't want to see it, realize how people can profit in the meantime or whatever, and continually do it again and again and again. And I don't understand what the deal is with that. I just don't. And I, you know, so it infuriates me that they continue to do it. And when I mean that, I'm saying, look at what happened in Nixon's administration. We talked last week about that I was on with Jonas Esposito talking about the history of the markets during impeachment proceedings.
Uh-huh.
And how you couldn't separate, really, the impeachment proceedings from what was going on in the economy. And in Nixon's second term, he got hit with this 11% essentially inflation rate, allegedly because of the Arab oil embargo. But that had minimal to do with it. It just was somewhat of a spark, like in a California fire, because the Fed had been pouring money in to beat the band after they got went off the gold standard during the Vietnam War in an attempt to essentially pay off the war with printed dollars and to sort of inflate their way out of having to pay people back. And so he was crushed by that. And the market went way down after it had been up for quite a while. And then so then the same thing happened when Greenspan with the 1% stuff. It happened Y2K. I mean, why do you think that the dot-bomb era made it to such a huge amount of the stock market and now the prices went up so much? Because before Y2K, for like a year and a half, they were pouring money in thinking the world was going to fall apart with all the computers. Well, it didn't. But the Fed, when the Fed pours money in... By the way, did you see any of that drop into your pocket in the last 2 weeks?
No, I haven't.
I haven't seen any in mine. So where do people think it goes? It goes into places where people are buying bonds, buying things, and buying stock. It goes right into that system. And what ends up happening is when things get overpriced, if they are, who knows how much overpriced they are, and then you end up lowering rates for companies to buy back stock. I can't think of anything dumber than a company buying back stock. Unless, of course, it gets down to
something. But wasn't that the plan? I mean, it wasn't the stated plan. The stated plan was all those monies and investments were going to be put back into the system.
Right, but it hasn't happened.
Right.
But the idea that you have people on boards paid stock bonuses or stock options, and they'll never pay a dividend because it mm-hmm. drops the price of the stock. We wonder what's wrong with the way places are managed, and we see things like that, and we go, well, there's a symptom right there. Right?
Yeah.
I'm flying back and forth verbally or written, I guess, with some people about the impeachment. And every time my right-wing guys, the latest is the reason why Trump is being impeached is because he has realized the corruption in the Ukraine and was investigating it. and was about to lower the boom on Hillary and Biden, the Democrats have decided to impeach him to save those people.
To save Biden.
The other people that he found out about, because he's the first person that was courageous enough to go after him.
Why are we interfering, if that's the case? I mean, why, first of all, are we in getting into another country's politics? And it's a new government, and I mean, that logic does not make sense to me.
Well, I think you know the reason why, is because we're sending a lot of money over there, mm-hmm. and our people and other sleazebags from around the world follow our money.
Okay.
And get their thumb in that pie.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a more realistic approach than what is being espoused by the Republicans in the administration right now, because I don't think it has anything to do with fixing the corruption in Ukraine. I think it's all about...
Oh, no. God, no.
I think it's all about posturing for the 2020 election on the Republican side.
So then the accusation to me was, Chief, you should move out of Chicago. Well, that's probably true, by the way.
There may be a lot of people moving out of Chicago.
There may be a lot of people moving out of Chicago. But I said, just because I can see the blue smoke of money in Chicago, whenever some program comes down, the depending on the neighborhood, some group has to get their finger in it. The alderman's always got to get his finger in it. And if it's in some areas, the preacher's got to get his finger in it. I mean, everybody has to get their finger in this money except the person who is supposed to religiously intend it to. Mm-hmm. So I can recognize the program. So our people, the Bidens of the world and the Manaforts and the Flynns, those guys are just like aldermen. They see money going somewhere, they think some of it's theirs.
No, they think most of it is theirs.
Most of it is theirs. And I think when Trump saw it, being the person he is, he could be a perfect alderman.
Mm-hmm.
That's mine. And you know, and his sons and everybody are, wait a minute, how can these guys be involved and not us? You see the quote this weekend? Sunday night, I go to look for the sports. And what do you think the first thing pops up is, now we pull the troops out of the northern part of Syria, but we've already told the Pentagon that we're going to commit troops to
protect the oil.
To protect the oil. And not only that, we deserve a piece of it for all the work we've been doing over there.
Mm-hmm.
Where does international law say that, just by the way?
I don't think that is international law. I think that's more a declaration by the President of the United States.
Like Kevin says, he says a lot of things, he hopes he forgets it, you know, but I don't even, so now we got the Russians over there, we've got Assad, I don't know what he's doing. Is he still hanging out and just...
Yes.
He just hangs out in Damascus or what?
Well, he's getting part of his country back. The parts that have been taken over by the caliphate, parts that have been taken over by the Kurds, are now being repositioned back as part of Syria.
But the Turks are taking a chunk of the north.
Yeah.
So he's losing that.
He's losing some. He's not gaining everything back. It's not going back to the original borders that it was a while ago, but he is getting back some of the land. Plus, he's getting the protection of Russia to keep him in power.
And this raid on this guy... evidently, Trump was talking about how he was crying like a coward, blah 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 blah, and the general Joint Chiefs of Staff said it. And he goes, "Well, not so sure how the president knows that. Maybe he's being nice because maybe he talked to people on the ground because there was no audio in the tunnel. There was is there anything that." I've known people like that. I just never thought one of them could be president. They just absolutely say whatever they feel they need to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, how many people have you been? It's like they say it's dark out. You immediately look out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I don't get it. How do you get to that point?
I don't understand. I don't understand the mentality of how anybody can get that way. I also know people who are similar, but not to the extent that Trump is.
It starts to get worse as you go. The thing that I've always been called a Luddite when it came to new technology, and I'm going to say I am probably guilty of that to a certain extent. But even I would know that if I ever went to Congress, if I ever, God help, if I was ever in the White House, everything you say or do, people have a record of.
Mm-hmm.
Except tapes, except the foreign governors, evidently. There's no tapes anymore because Nixon got thrown out with the tapes. You know, there has never been a tape conversation like the same with the Ukraine since Nixon was in office. There is no tape.
You mentioned that before. I didn't know that.
Anyway, but I mean, wouldn't you think that all this stuff that goes on in Congress and the nasty little you know, games that they play and the bureaucratic stuff that goes on, that used to all be sort of hidden, and now mm-hmm. it's not. And do they have any idea how bad it looks, or don't they care?
I don't think they care. I think each one of the each group, and even within the Republicans or within the Democratic Party, they are playing to a small portion of their people. And as long as they can appease their people and make it look like they're fighting for their people, they don't care what it looks like to the rest of the world. I mean, certainly, you know, somebody like Lindsey Graham or Mitch McConnell cannot say that they've got any moral principles anymore.
No.
Absolutely no way can they... I mean, look at what Lindsey Graham has been doing in the last year and a half or so, compared to what he was like when McCain was alive.
I'm going to ask you, don't answer this if you don't want to. You wouldn't anyway, if you didn't want to, which is fine. But what do you think... I think that whatever somebody had on Denny Hastert, which we turned out to know, to understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And put him in that job. What do you think the president all of a sudden has on Lindsey Graham?
It has got to be something.
I mean, is it just me that feels that way, or do you feel the same way?
Oh, no, I feel the same way. I just cannot believe that Lindsey Graham can go on TV or in front of the microphones of Congress with a straight face and say some of the things he does compared to where he was before the 2016 election when he was... I mean, if you look at the tapes of Graham when he was in Congress, in the House... Not the Senate, but when he was in the Congress during the Clinton administration for those impeachment hearings. And it's like this is an alien that has taken over his body and his mind compared to where he is now.
Well, in my email war yesterday, or discussion, I won't say war, everything was ranting and raving about the impeachment. And what I said, you know, finally, my last one, I said, look, I honestly don't care. I said, If this guy is a sleazebag, and I'm willing to let the thing play out, and I don't really know if the Democrats do have enough or not. I have no idea. How would I know?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm willing to let the thing play out. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I said, if they do, and he's a big of enough sleazebag to throw him out of there, we need to throw him out of there. It's not about Hillary. It's not about Roosevelt. It's not about Wilson. It's not about Biden. It's about him.
Yeah.
And if we start the next week... And somebody says we are going to go after, you know, the money Hillary took from overseas people in her foundation and it kicked it into their campaign. And we want to throw Hillary in jail a year from now on a similar type thing. I have no problem with it, but one has nothing to do with the other.
I agree.
Why are we in such a minority?
It is a distraction. It is a distraction from what's going on right now. Just like the fact that the claim that what is going on right now is trying to undo the results of the 2016 election. What is being investigated now, especially with the Ukraine, when you focus on actions with Ukraine, are actions that took place after the election. It is not saying that because he's elected, we're going to impeach him. These are actions that were taken after the election happened. There's no other recourse right now. And I believe that if this is not challenged at this point, that matters are only going to get worse between now and November 2020. Or if he's reelected for the next 4 years after that.
I have a question for him. If he's impeached, can he run?
No.
You're sure?
He will not be able to run again.
I think you're wrong on that. I think there's two levels of impeachment.
Well, there's impeachment and then there's removal from office. I believe that if he's removed from office, that he will not be able to run again. There is a provision in the Constitution that says he can only be elected twice. So if he's impeached during his first term, there is an argument that he could run again after being removed from office, if he's removed from office.
I read, and of course I've got it buried here somewhere in my voluminous files. You know, at least when I used to run the stuff off, I could find it. Now that I just have it in emails I send to people, I can never find this stuff again. I seem to think, Brendan, that I read, now hopefully if somebody is listening, please enlighten, that there's two levels. He can be removed from office and, or in addition to, he can be removed from office and banned from running again. That it's a There's two different levels of being booted.
I'm not familiar with that distinction. I don't know.
I was kind of surprised at it myself. Because, I mean, does that mean could he run for senator again? I mean, I think one of them.
I think he could run for senator again. I don't think that he could run for the president if he's been removed from office. But I might be mistaken about that.
No, in Illinois you can.
Well, there's a provision in Illinois, that's what happened with Blagojevich, that once he was impeached and removed from office, he was prohibited from running again for governor. That's a state law.
Well, how come the my senator, of all people, was booted for ethics, and he ran the next time and won? And you can't be, no double jeopardy. Once if you're elected back in, you can't be booted out for the same stuff.
Right, right. I know about that. And I remember when he ran.
My guy. Unopposed, by the way.
Well, he was opposed when he ran again, because I know the guy who ran against him.
In the primary? Not in the general election.
In the primary, yeah.
In the general election, he was unopposed, I think.
Well, unfortunately, that's the case with a lot of districts in Illinois, both Democrats and Republicans. There, I think in the last election, it was something like 40% of the state reps were unopposed, which is abhorrent to me. When you talk about a system that is rigged, the fact that you've got anybody who's running unopposed in any district in a state as big as Illinois is ridiculous.
Well, it's real hard to get on the ballot with the signatures and all that stuff.
Well, it is, but also recruiting, because people know that in certain districts they've got no chance, so they don't even run. And,
right.
And the Democratic Party or the Republican Party doesn't put up an opposition candidate in many of those cases.
The our girl is taking care of us here. What can I tell you? The question is, how does all this get back to finance? And I think the amount of pressure being put on the Fed right now to essentially keep asset prices up for the next year is unconscionable. And the system, and I know I talk about it every day because I think it is that important, Brendan, and I think a lot of people don't know what the hell I'm talking about, is when the Fed comes out and says they're going to buy essentially $60 billion a month of don't call it QE, but something. They're essentially saying that they're going to buy three-quarters of the trillion-dollar deficit next year and just make up the money. The danger there, inflation-wise, is dramatic. And even though we continually... Why are so many brilliant people in this world saying that we have no inflation? I'm looking here at my latest one is I looked at the amount of cost a company, you know, like PTI, to insure an employee. Now, we were around in 2000. We were around in 1991. We started. In 2000, I don't know what our costs were, but the average cost of a insuring somebody, I mean, you know, I'm sure it was a pretty good plan, that is now $20,000, was $7,000. Okay? So that, if you put it in the calculator in 2000, let me ask you this. According to the CPI, how much higher should something be in 2019 than it was in 2000?
Well, I can't give you what that number is because you'd have to look at what the compounding is for inflation.
Okay, but what would you guess?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to venture a guess.
All right, well, let me tell you this. If a $7,000 something in 2000 would cost $10,275 today, according to the CPI numbers.
Okay.
So that essentially is 46% higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The actual number is now $20,000.
Much higher.
Much higher. So if you compound that with being a either somebody disingenuous or a total moron, and you say that medical care is say 5 or 6% of of the budget, you can sort of get away with the CPI being where it is. But if you put it up to 18 or 20% where it really is, and now this is instead of being 46%, it's 300%. Even that piece, if you fix that piece of the CPI since 2000, you're probably up to almost 3% or 2.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how you continually look the other way and fudge this number. And I honestly don't. If it wasn't for the Fed pouring money into the system, what do you think? Somebody, I'm asking these questions because you're a bright guy. You don't think about this all the time. What do you think the number would be? Just about, what was I say? And everything, everything you own, do you buy now? Do you think it's only up 46% since 2000?
Oh no, I think it's much higher than that.
I mean, houses aren't. A lot of the houses stuff, because I had some people.
Well, that's because of the downturn in 2008 and 2009.
Well, it's also, I think, a difference in what part of the thing you're looking at. If you look at rents in downtown Chicago, they're the moon. If you look at, you know, $5 million houses on the North Shore, nobody wants those things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do with, you know, I don't think inflation just has to do with, you can't give a millennial a 20,000 square foot house with 8 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms they got to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want one, would you?
No, I don't want one.
What's the upkeep on that thing, for God's sake?
Yes, not to mention the lawn around the house and the landscaping around the house that you've got to take care of.
See, that's what I like about you and what I see myself in you. It's not the lawn. You're from the south side. Those are the grounds.
Nah, it's still the lawn.
Well, no, that's you and me. In the bungalow, you get the push mower, you go out, and you cut the thing in 10 minutes.
Look, the neighborhood I lived in for a while was either West Lawn or Chicago Lawn. They're lawns.
Well, the neighborhood was the lawn, not the... Let me help you. If you go up to Lake Forest and you call it your lawn, you're not invited to any of the parties to keep your pinky up on your wing.
Yeah, I know. I've been up there, and I have to laugh sometimes.
It's a... God, we went to a party up there. I couldn't believe it.
It's like talking about the front room.
Yeah, the front room. Well, what's the front room? Well, what's the front room?
It's right by the door inside the bungalow.
Yeah.
It's the front room. When you're looking at the house, it's the room that's in the front of the house.
That's right. I went to a party up there, a garden party. I couldn't believe
it. You and Ricky Nelson?
Remember Chris and Carrie? They were doing a lot of work with... Catholic Family Radio, of all things. And they came down there and they got all this money from these people up in Wisconsin. And I don't know how much time we have to tell this quick story, but Chris and I would be asked on like once a week, and we were like the rascals. We would do economic stuff. It was a national show. And we would talk about the things I talk about here, and the thing would light up, you know. Ask the chief what the money supply really is, or that kind of stuff, and people have no idea what this stuff is, which is most of society, by the way. And that's how they get away with this stuff, to be honest with you. Nobody knows what the Fed does. Nobody knows what the Treasury does. When I say nobody, I mean, it's not like people are ignorant. This is not, I mean, if you ask me how to go weld something, how to weld it, I mean, it's not my area. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not criticizing it, but I'm just saying that the intricacies of how federal financing is done is not something most people spend any time on, like, nor should they, I mean, right? Anyway, we're on this thing, and the weird part is that the commercials would be like, if your daughter's getting married, go to the Vatican store and buy her hope chesting stuff. Remember, from the Vatican, all these like blessed blankets and stuff. And I'm going, mm-hmm. These are the commercials on the show. Well, Chris and I are on there. You can imagine, we were like the I don't know what we look like. We were the rotten apple in the barrel. But anyway, I'll finish the story after, but we get invited to this party up on the North Shore from some guy who's got nothing but dough. God, Brendan, it was so white. The only person in the place that was not Lily White was Carrie, and she's Hispanic. And we sit in the back row, and they start giving these speeches. It looked like something out of a TV, like, you know, like something like a white power thing on it. And guess who I walk in next to? The guy's about 5'2", the Cardinal. He and I walk in together. I'll finish the story. It's interesting. SP Futures down 475. NASDAQ Futures down 8. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I love it when I hang on before I start because what do we get to go? From our girl over there, AV, S&P Futures. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Brendan Cornan. She's AV on the board. S&P Futures down 3.25. Again, we're up huge yesterday. NASDAQ Futures down 4. We had the Fed meeting starting today. We got the Dow down 64. Individual stocks in the Dow, the one that's taking us down a little bit. Well, not really that much. We got Disney down 2 cents. We got Walmart down 55. Not much. We actually had Merck up 230. They had earnings yesterday. By the way, the straddle was only a dollar, so that's a pretty good move on Merck. I was tempted to just buy that straddle. I couldn't put a calendar spread together in there that made any sense, Brendan. So I'm thinking, I had to just buy this straddle. It's like a buck and a half. I'd be up 80 cents. Of course, I got to wait 2 hours to be able to get rid of it. So who knows? By then, maybe I wouldn't be. Anyway, over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 22.2%. FTSE down 57.8. That's a little bit of a move. CAC around down 4. Call that flat. Over in Asia, we're kind of mixed bag here. Nikkei up 106. That's 0.5%. Shanghai down 25.9%. Hang Seng down 104.4%, so not much there. U.S. bonds 1.83. The Bund minus 0.34. Japan, get a load of this, Brendan, minus 0.11. They were down, they were minus 0.2. They're creeping. At this rate, let's see, by Christmas, they could be positive. What do you think? That'd be interesting for the first time in, God, how many years? Oil down 69 cents, 55.12, right locked in this range. Brent down 67 cents, 60.90. Natural gas, get a load of this, up 8 cents, 252. Our Bob is, where did that thing lower? Do we say 228 was the low? Is this because of the cool weather here? I think I was on saying somewhere along the line, if we get any kind of cold weather in November, you'd make money at 228. Well, here you already have.
For yet.
Feels like it.
It does, but it's not.
Yeah. Our Bob
we haven't even got to Halloween yet.
No. Silver down 16 cents, 1771. Gold down $5, 1490. We keep talking about this trade quote deal. I don't know, Brendan. There's no way this deal is going to be any better than what we had before, I don't think. And we're just going to call it a big victory in all ends, probably. Mm-hmm. Yep. AV, what do you guys for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Up with the weather. It's cold out.
Good morning, friends. It is 6:37 a.m. in Chicago. 39 degrees outside currently. Very drizzly outside and very high humidity, about 90%. So expect generally cloudy day with a chance of rain shower. The highest of the day will be 44 and the lowest 38. In Phoenix, 47 degrees. Currently sunny and clear day as usual. The highest will be 74 and the lowest 47. In traffic, there is no accidents reported, but traffic is always getting the volume pretty quick. This early morning, expect some slight delays due to the constructions, especially on the 90 expressway, both directions around Norwich, 290 is picking up on the 5th Avenue between Kilpatrick Avenue and Colmar. Off-ramp closed on Kennedy I-90-94 east at Burnie interchange. Also, there is some construction on Lakeshore Drive as well. Right lane is closed between Walker Drive and Grand Avenue. Chief?
Did you watch the game last night, Brendan?
No, I missed the game last night.
Well, I threw it on just for a little bit. And I'm sort of stunned by some of the coaching moves I've seen. And I'm also absolutely stunned by this new pass interference reviewability thing.
Mm-hmm.
Was
it another controversial pass interference call last night?
They actually called an offensive pass interference. And all the guys were doing were hand-checking the way down there.
Well, that happened in the Bears game Sunday, too. There were a couple of plays where that was called.
Joel is here.
Really? Hey, Joel, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I don't have to go to any more Notre Dame games.
You sound ebullient, Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just about dried out from that ball game.
Did it rain the whole time?
Well, it let up in the second half a little bit, but nice victory. I mean, you know, the big debate here in the Detroit area is, well, yeah, it's a signature win for Harbaugh, but until he beats Ohio State, you know, he's underperforming. So that's still the mantra here, and I tell you right now, that's going to be a formidable task beating those Buckeyes. From what I can see, they have probably four players that are going to go in the top 10 in the draft, a couple Heisman Trophy candidates. We do have it in Ann Arbor, so hopefully we'll have a little home field advantage. But at this point, the Buckeyes look reminiscent of the 1969 Buckeyes who came into Ann Arbor number one, being compared to the Minnesota Vikings of the National Football League. Bo's first year, Michigan took them down 24-12. That was some time ago, but actually 50 years ago. Maybe this year's game will be reminiscent of that.
By the way, you guys are having, I know a guy, I got a guy who was on that team, and they're having their big reunion is this year. You know, guys
Who's
are,
the guy?
A guy named Mark Duffy. He was a long snapper.
Really? Huh.
But I think Deardorff was on
that team. Yeah, I mean.
Well, Deardorff was on that team. You mean they had some players.
On that team. Yep. Little Barry Pearson, Don Moorhead.
Yeah.
It was a heck of a game. But, you can't live in the past. That's what they say about us Michigan fans. But I'll tell you why, even if we don't beat Ohio State this year, why I'm optimistic about the future is because Harbaugh finally, I think, has cultivated some quarterbacks. He's brought a couple transfers in, but Shea Patterson's going to graduate. Doubt he'll get drafted. Doubt he's an NFL quarterback. But I do like Dylan McCaffrey, Ed McCaffrey's son, Christian McCaffrey's brother. He's the backup. I like Joe Milton as another player. So he's building up that stable of quarterbacks. I think that's what you need to survive big time. Like Ohio State, JT Fields goes down. Ohio State is in big trouble. Bama, when they made their run, you know, they had Tua, Tagovailoa, and Jalen Hurts. You know, he's stocking the quarterbacks. We got a big recruit coming in 2021, J.J. McCarthy. So there's room for optimism, but still, my life is miserable until we beat Ohio State.
I'm going to say that beating Kelly isn't exactly a feather in anybody's cap.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, they're the seventh-ranked team in the country. I didn't see it. I mean, Michigan did put some game together at the end of the Penn State game. There was a little follow-through, but, yeah. Is there some heat on Kelly now?
No, I mean, there ought to be. I mean, how much more money are we going to give the guy? We gave him $450 for some, whatever you want to call the new stadium. It's the monument to rich white guys. And then we gave him, he couldn't win on grass. Okay, so we gave him an artificial field. The old practice facility, which was fantastic, that wasn't good enough. We're going to give that to baseball or something. And they spent like, $750 million on the guy? This is what he needed to win, and they still suck?
Yeah, it's tough, Chief. It's tough, and I don't think that being in a conference or not has anything to do with it. But big time college football is tough, especially competing with those teams down south with the huge payrolls.
Did you watch the game last night, or did you watch the Bear game? Where do they get these coaches? Last night, I mean, Brandon didn't watch. I don't know if you did. It was a horrendous game. It was Miami's 0-6 against
exactly.
The Steelers. Well, the guy who's doing the color now for Monday night is pretty good. Pretty African American.
Booger McFarland.
Yeah, the defense, get a load of this, Brendan. It's third and whatever, and these guys are going to kick a field goal, long field goal, and they decide on third down and 20. Third and 20, they rush everybody except three guys in man coverage. there's only three guys in man coverage. They put a small slant to the one guy. And he runs it all the way in for 45 yards. The guy goes, it's third and 20. What are you doing with only three people in the back? That's where you rush three, you play a zone, you throw the 10-yard pass, and you tackle a guy, and now it's fourth and 10.
That's right. You keep everything in front of you when you got 20 yards to go.
And he goes, what are they doing? Of course, everybody here on the TV with the Bear game, with the guy missing the field goal, I mean, it's an interesting view of the world. Joel, me and my grumpy old friends and the rest of the world, all you hear are the young guys on TV. You got to get a guy who can kick a 40-yard field. These are people that have never played anything, right? How easy it is to kick a 40-yard field goal.
The missed field goal at the end of the Bears game was not what lost that game.
No.
I mean, look at when they had the ball at the one-yard line. They had first and goal at the one-yard line and could not score a touchdown.
Right.
They had, I think it was 8 or 9 plays from the four-yard line and couldn't score a touchdown.
Well, what my point is anybody, all the guys that I talked to at the club, all have played all different kinds of ball. Every one of them said to me, since when is a 40-yard field goal off the grass at Soldier Field in the wind a chip shot? So how is that a gimme? With 40 seconds to go and you're on the 30-yard line, how do you not try and get another 10 yards or another 15 yards to actually make it a chip shot?
Even 5 yards.
Yeah, like, what's the matter with you?
Yep.
Everyone said this. I didn't have to. That was my view on it. I didn't have to open my mouth. What are they doing? Why? At least try it on third down, or in case you screw up the snap, you got another chance. They didn't even do that.
Yeah.
He goes, where are these coaches coming from?
Well, Nagy's explanation that he was afraid of a fumble or afraid of a sack if they try to pass showed absolutely no confidence in his offense.
Right.
If he's going in expecting, the old Woody Hayes said thing that, if you pass the ball, three things can happen and two of them are bad.
Right.
There's some truth in that.
There you go.
But Nagy, is talking about fumbles and throwing for a loss. It's a negative attitude just going in. And I agree with you, Chief. They should have run at least one play. to try to get closer.
Joel, what do you make of Fed talking today? How much more money are we going to pour into this market? And we see these long-term rates coming up worldwide. If the Fed wasn't involved, and I was just going through some numbers here with Brendan, that the inflation rate for medical stuff since 2000 has been 300%, and the CPI would have it at 46%. What would be your number if your mom, for instance, was going to last 30 years and you wanted to put money out to give to the government for 30 years? Given interest is supposed to be real rate of interest plus inflation, what would you demand before you gave the government that money? If the Fed wasn't in buying the crap, what would you as a citizen demand?
3%?
I'd have to. Why wouldn't you go on more than that?
Because it's not going to happen, Chief.
Well, that part I get, but we're distorting the supply and demand curve.
You know what, Chief? I've always been, you know, the rule of thumb, you know, 5-7% year portfolio. So if I can have no risk and get 3-3.5%, then I'm happy. But those days are gone. I think I got a hop, but with the Fed here, they'll lower. They'll make everyone happy. The tone will be a little bit hawkish. They're going to say, okay, we're doing it this time, but we're going to be data dependent. We're going to wait 6 months, and then the market's going to freak out. They'll toss the market down here a little bit up at all-time highs. That's what I'm looking for from the Fed today.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself.
All right. Go blue.
S&P futures down 375. NASDAQ futures down 450. We'll be right back. Mr. Kenny Pulgari.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now. Money, honey, money, honey, money, honey. If you wanna get along with me.
Well, I'm playing stocks and jocks. I'm somehow Mr. Brendan Cornish, who's AV on the board. Do we have Kenny?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. S&P futures down 275, NASDAQ futures down 275. We're at the same, this is after a big move yesterday. The Fed is meeting today. There will be no announcement until tomorrow. And then, Powell has his press conference in which they try to bore you to tears with all these new ways they have of looking at the economy and new indices and new studies. And anyway, numbers today are, Google came out and clunked last night. They missed by like $2 on their earnings. So around 1650, 1273. And Beyond Meat is down like $20. It's $85. That's a long way down, Brendan, from where that thing was. We put this thing up on we find a chart of this Beyond Meat, but I'm going to say this sucker was, here's one of those, you know, most of the people that I have are too conservative for this kind of thing. So this thing was 240 in July. That's a drop.
That's a big drop.
It went to 200 in June. Back down to 150 in July, back up to 240. Unbelievable. And then now it's back down to 85. So even though they, you know, are allegedly getting contracts at McDonald's and a lot of other people, but evidently there's a lot of competition that's hit the space. Those kinds of stocks, Brendan, they're rough to trade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the options are real expensive, they're real wide, they're real everything. So it's really difficult to even try and hedge yourself a little bit. I look at the way the numbers and the way the policy is going here, Brendan, and I don't understand where the history is and where these people are doing what they're doing. And I wonder what the end game is going to be. I mean, we just talked with Joel about putting your money, what would it take to invest? I mean, when I was in school, and I don't think that it's changed much, your interest rate is supposed to be, your long-term interest rate, I say even over a year, is supposed to be the real rate of interest, what you're charging somebody for the use of your money. And by the way, it shouldn't be negative. It shouldn't be even. I wouldn't use somebody's car for nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't rent their apartment for nothing. Why should I be able to use their money for nothing? Same thing, right? It's a factor of production.
Mm-hmm.
And now, but the only difference with money is if you lend it to me for 5 years, it's very possible that if we have inflation, that when I give it back to you, it's worth less than when you gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So common sense would say, and history would say, that the interest rate supposed to be that I pay you for your money is the real rate of interest, say 2.5, 3, 2, whatever it happens to be at the time based on competitive issues. And if we think there's going to be a 2% inflation rate, guess what? That's 5. So if you lend me 100 grand, I should be paying you 5 grand a year. Three grand of it, or two grand of it, if it's inflation rate's 2, 2 grand of it should be because the money's not as worth as it much last year. And 3 grand of it is for actual use of your dough.
Mm-hmm.
And, why do we continually try and mess with what is a very simple and common sense solution? Why do we want to make sure that a government that spends too much all of a sudden doesn't have to pay interest? And yet the people who earn the money and have it and lend it to people, they don't get anything back. And then we have a banking system that charges people 25% on credit cards while they're charging negative when you give them money. I mean, it's, to me, how did we get here from wherever we were? There's absolutely no logic to it. And I can't imagine it happening long term. And now, you know, some of my guys that send me like really good stuff, we don't just argue all the time, they send me good stuff. It said in the year 2025 now. Remember the song in the year 2025?
Yep.
That the World Bank, yeah, World Bank has decided that, they're geared up for a totally cashless society. To where everything you do, somebody knows about it. Why would anybody want to go there? Or are you and I just being old?
Well, we're being old, but I agree that that seems to be where we're going.
Does anybody think that through?
Well, you know, that's kind of like the Star Trek world. When you see in people on Star Trek, they don't have money, they don't have credit cards. Things just get paid for, and
yeah, but they're on a ship. I have a feeling when they hit land, they better come up with something.
Well, when they go to foreign worlds, they don't have the current currency.
I'll bet there's diamonds or something they all use.
That lithium crystals.
Yeah, what did the guy use on the day the Earth stood still?
Hmm.
They were diamonds, remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave the kid a pocket full of diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
They went to be paid for the movie with a diamond, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. But, I mean, there needs to be something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your buddy Larry Summers, Becky Quick says to him, if we have negative interest rates, I'll just take my money out of the bank and put it in a safety deposit box.
Mm-hmm.
He says, that's why you shouldn't be able to do that. We should take your cash. Well, I don't see what the Fed's doing. The thing of it is, Brent, am I the only one that can read these books in this history?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think you are, and I don't think you should be.
Well, you understand right where I'm coming from with
yeah,
all this stuff.
I do.
Well, so why have we gotten so far afield?
I think that there are other factors at work, and I think it's true whether there's a Democrat or a Republican in the office that a lot of it is politics to make the current, whoever the then current president is, look better than he or she is.
Well, Jimmy Carter didn't do that.
No.
Bush won,
but he also paid a heavy price.
Yes. and
see, that's the risk, that you can do things that make you look better, and you can get away with it, or you can take the hard choice like Carter did and pay a hefty price by not getting reelected.
Right. I guess though, when you elect somebody, let's be simple. When you elect somebody as a mayor. Or a governor, or a president, for that matter. But president's got other stuff. He's got national security, all kinds of stuff he's worried about. But if it's a mayor, basically two or three or ten people are running, and they're saying, under my management, I can provide all these services cheaper to you than the next guy. It's almost like going into a store.
Not necessarily than the next guy, but the other guy who's running against me right now.
Right, right. But I mean, but it's almost like going into a store, or going to a place for your oil change, and the guy goes, I'll give you a perfectly good oil change for $20. The other guy says, I want 30. Well, if they're both the same, you're going to go to the guy for 20, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a dollar vote.
Mm-hmm.
So now the mayor says, okay, I can do this. I can do a better job with all these services, and here's what my taxes are going to be. Okay, now that's fair. All right, now the next guy. But then once you allow people to borrow, where you can't even count and figure out how well they're doing, you basically blow the whole system out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean you can't figure out how well Trump or Obama or Bush or anybody's doing when they're borrowing $1 trillion a year.
Well, one of the ways you do that is to look at what the deficit is and what's the plan to get rid of
the
deficit.
Well, there's none. S&P futures down 3.25. NASDAQ futures down 3. But I'm saying you don't even know if you're on foot or horseback. When they're borrowing the dough, you don't know if it's a good idea or not. They'll tell you it's good. If you believe them, you believe them.
Well, that's right, because the economy gets better and it'll pay for itself.
Right. Well, allegedly. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help.
A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's J-O-H-N at PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Allen. This is Brendan Cornyn. She's AV on the board. S&P futures now down 4.25. S&P futures down 10. We were just down 12. So there was some little announcement came out, and we went back down, and we came flying right back up. But I really believe, I don't usually give market timing stuff, Brendan, but with the Fed pouring its money in, I don't see how we don't continue to inch up for like a little while. I'm sure you're sitting there going, why does the guy who manages people's money grumping because the market's going up? It's not. My people are actually nice and along. I've got them protected, and I keep rolling the protection up. But every time I see this happen, Brennan, it seems like the flip side. I mean, the Fed made the dot-bomb peaks, and it also made the sell-off. As soon as they turn it around the other way, last quarter last year, when they tried to cut back a little bit, look what happened. We're right back in. You can't do that. You got to keep pouring it in. And I think that the drops are worse than the, you know, you could get me to do this better if you raise the $3,000 limit on how much you could take off
each year
to, you know, mm-hmm. as much as you actually lost. Mm-hmm. So the reason why California and those places did so well during the dot bomb era is if Brendan bought, you know, PTI securities at 48 cents and sold it at $200, you had to pay capital gains taxes on that whole, you know, 190, 199.52.
Mm-hmm.
The person who bought it from you at $200 and had to go back to 48 cents
gets to take
$3,000 off a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a totally not an equal game at all. Plus, most people, I mean, it's not that we don't have anybody on margin loans. We do with PTI. But that's not our game at all. I mean, we are absolutely not into that, never been into that. The margin loans that we have from people usually are people that, you know, have a big account and drag some money out because they want to buy a condo or something. They essentially, you know, get the loan from the brokerage firm, which is perfectly legal. It's fine. But we really don't. If you're to Charles Schwab's doing stuff for free, even though it's not free, I mean, everybody says it is, because they're getting kickbacks from the other side. That's how I threw that one in there. But there's a lot of firms. If somebody wants to buy 1,000 IBM, which is trading 135, they send them which is 135 grand, you'll send them a check for half of that. You know, and you can do that, all right? The problem is if you buy IBM on the margin and it runs up and then it comes flying back down, you've got yourself with some leverage. So instead of buying the 500 shares you can, quote, afford cash-wise, you can buy double that because you can borrow 50%. Like I said, it's not like if somebody opened an account here and wanted to do that, I suppose we couldn't say no. Actually, it's a Fed rule, so we can't say no. We'll lend you to 50%, or RBC will, or so will IB. But that's not our game. I mean, we would say, no, wait a minute, we can recreate the position, you know, different without you having to borrow 65 grand and paying interest for it. So it's not even up and down. So having seen this for 40 years, I love it when the market goes up because people are making more and the economy's doing better. And I want to see IBM at $200 5 years from now, not at 135. But I don't want the Fed to drive it there before it ought to be there. Because if they bleep up and it comes back to 135, a lot more people are hurt on the way down than on the way up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you have to be close to the industry to know that, you know, because most people will tell you, what's the difference? Well, they're trying to get your buck, you know, more than I am. It is not even. You know, it's like if you buy a house and you put 20% down and a house drops by 50%, you thought your 20% was more than enough to take care of every wobble in that house, in the price of that house, and it turns out it wasn't. You know, so it's devastating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was in 2008. So when you look at the math and you see these politicians going down the same road again and again, you can't. So what do you think of the President of the United States coming to somebody's hometown and telling the chief of police what a bleep he is and what a bleep hole the place is?
It was amazing talking about that. But you know, that's not unusual for what this president has done over the last couple of years. He's made Chicago a target. And I think in large part it's because of this being the adopted hometown of Barack Obama, his predecessor. And it seems like
it wasn't the adopted old town, it's where he grew up.
No, he grew up other places, but he had his
You are right, I'm wrong. When did he move here? Well, it's been a while.
He came here after law school.
Okay, so he was in his 20s.
He was in his 20s when he came here.
Okay, I thought it was a little later than that.
No, he went to Harvard Law School, and then he moved here after law school.
Why? Is that when he married the wife? She was from here?
He met her here. He met her here through Valerie Jarrett. But he was, I don't remember if he was a clerk. He might have been a law clerk for a summer at the same law firm.
So he was already CIA and Valerie was his handler.
I'm sorry?
He was already CIA and Valerie was his handler even then?
I'm not sure how he made the connection with Valerie Jarrett, but she introduced Barack to Michelle.
Okay.
Michelle was a young attorney at, I think it was Sidley and Austin, or Sidley. And Valerie Jarrett introduced Barack to her.
Okay.
And he became a community organizer around the South Side. He wasn't working for a powerful law firm, and then he just kind of started running in the political circles, was elected as a state senator in Illinois, and then rose through the ranks of becoming a U.S. senator and then president.
Okay. Because, I mean, our buddy Wayne was mentioning that the place he worked between, where would he go to undergrad, Columbia?
I think it was Columbia.
Between Columbia and Harvard is a total CIA front, that nobody gets in there unless you're a CIA guy.
No, I don't know about that.
Well, neither do I. But the reason why the birth certificate regarding his dad was so shifty is because the old man was in the CIA.
I have never heard that.
We got to get you on with Brendan, or without Brendan. You are Brendan, with Wayne. He regaled us about how the guy was CIA the whole way.
That sounds to me a little bit.
The valet was his handler. I'm just saying. I mean, I not say I believe it. I just say that, you know, Wayne has got a whole. He traces all his stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you ask yourself how did the guy, every office he ran for, the guy he ran against, disappeared.
There are a lot of politicians who have that kind of luck. Pat Quinn had that kind of luck until it finally ran out. But, you know, again, that seems way too conspiratorial to me to be true.
Okay, well, our buddy Dr. J was always under the impression that the Pritzkers got the divorce records of what's-his-name open. Was it Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald.
What? Yeah. What the guy he ran against? Where he and the wife went to the sex club in Europe?
Oh. Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. It was Fitzgerald, but.
No, it wasn't Fitzgerald. It wasn't
Jerry Ryan was his wife.
Yeah, yeah. And so Wayne basically told Dr. J he was full of bleep and that the Tribune would not have that kind of power. Only the CIA could do that. And that the. Then the Republicans didn't even put up a candidate. They put up. They brought the black guy in from out of state.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
They were trying to find somebody, and they couldn't find anybody locally. Well, that guy came in as.
Well, Ryan ran in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with two other people. One was the dairy guy,
Overweiss,
and the other guy who came in third. And there was another guy who came in second, who was also a very strong candidate, I thought. I'm not a big fan of Overweiss. Well, I don't like the guy. I think he's a little too conservative for me. But the other guy that ran with Ryan, I forget his name, mm-hmm. was a very solid candidate.
and he lost to the guy from downstate. Am I thinking about the same election he
no,
ran?
No, I'm talking about the primary.
Mm-hmm. I know. In the Republican primary, he lost to the guy from downstate. Who was really socially conservative, and that's really costing the election.
No. What I'm talking about is Ryan ran against, there was three people in the primary. It was Overweiss, Ryan, and there was another guy who came in a close second. So when Ryan drops out for this alleged sex club thing with your wife, which I don't quite get what's so wrong with that, but it's not like you're bringing somebody else. Anyway, he's out, so I just assumed, and as they say in the trade, never assume. They didn't, either that guy was told not to run by somebody. Why wouldn't you just pick the guy who came in second and say you're now running?
Mm-hmm.
But somehow he wanted no part of it and needed it Overweiss. So there's a lot of stuff happening here. Two guys that basically busted their nut to run, and all of a sudden it's put in front of them, either didn't want to or were told not to, and you bring some guy from out of state no one even heard of. What do you get, 4 votes, him and his family? I mean, how does that even begin to happen? In anything, right?
Okay, I'm kind of foggy on what the details were at that time. I mean, what you're telling me, what you're stating, rings a bell a little bit, but I'm just...
Well, the only reason why I know about it is because Wayne went through this about 2 years ago, and I remember this stuff for some mm-hmm. reason. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, how does somebody... When you look... I don't know, Brandon. Maybe you can explain it to me. You look at all this stuff. If you and I, not that we, A, want to, and anybody wants us, if we come walking out of a motel like Gary Hart, he's disqualified. One guy goes to a sex club with his wife, he's disqualified. Another guy, Obama, not that he ever did anything like that. I don't think he's that kind of dude. But nothing. When water ran off that guy, like there was no tomorrow. He was the Democratic Ronald Reagan. He was the Teflon man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody got from from a spot, a community organizer, into the presidency while doing absolutely nothing like that dude. I mean, he's good-looking, black, we're ready for a black guy, well-spoken, so that part was all good. But how does it, there's got to be 50 people like that in this country, and they have no chance. How does all of a sudden one person, and where does Valerie Jarrett come from? And Wayne is convinced that their dad and her grandfather were CIA. Now, this is not me talking. And all of a sudden, she's there every day.
Her father and her grandfather were here in Chicago. They had nothing that, as far as I know, there's never been a connection with them as a CIA.
Name me another person who's in a job she had that had something like six security guards.
I don't know that she had six security guards.
Wayne claims the difference between her and any other staff person is night and day. Night and day. That's how powerful she was out there.
Okay, I don't know the basis for those claims, so I'm at a loss to try to explain them. I just don't have that kind of information.
I think what you should do is the next time I have Wayne on for an hour on, let's say, a Friday morning, I think we should have a special guest appearance, because maybe you can debate him better than I can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just listen, and I don't believe all of it. But I wonder, I mean, I know that if you or I ran, we couldn't get the petitions done, for God's sake, without 15 people throwing us out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does, and all of a sudden the C parts for some guy.
Well, you know, Obama had some pretty powerful sponsors and godfathers in Illinois politics.
Okay.
But, I mean, the same thing was true. I mean, you look for a comparison. A guy like Rod Blagojevich, had he not tripped himself up, he might have been similar to the rise of Barack Obama with what he did with his father-in-law, Dick Mell. I don't think what happened to Obama rising to the level of president was solely because of what the information that you're providing right now that
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that there's avenues. There's a reason why George Bush was this playboy, who knows the extent of the alcohol and the drugs, and he basically said, okay, before 40, we're never talking about it. And everybody goes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if you and I ran, or this guy runs for judge, all of a sudden everything he did when he was 18 is fair game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm saying the difference in rules because of the difference in people and families and who's behind him, to me, is somewhat astounding. And then when you look and say, why do we have the presidents we've had, maybe that's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, I'm not saying definitively. I'm just opining. I'm saying, how do these people get there? How do some people make it? How does Denny Hastert get to be the Speaker of the House when the guy's a wrestling coach and couldn't behave himself?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, out of all the people in this country, that guy becomes the Speaker. I mean, who used that weakness to have something on him and put him there, and for what purpose?
Mm-hmm.
If we don't ask these questions, we're never going to find out.
Well, again, that to me sounds very, very conspiratorial in a way that only Hollywood would come up with. I understand that you know, it looks bad given the past when Hastert was a wrestling coach and what he's been convicted of and what has come out since then. I don't know that there's a nexus between him being elected as Speaker of the House is hiding something from that past, because I don't think...
Well, you're an attorney. You want to see proof first. And I just sit there and go, you know, well, you just, earlier in the show, we mentioned what's with the guy who can't wait to sail by, or the guy from South Carolina, whatever his name is.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. Well, okay. What do they have on him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do think there's definitely something on him.
Well, what's the difference? one guy, you know, I mean... I don't believe verbatim everything that Wayne says.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the stuff, it's kind of scary, Brent. You look at the scrutiny these people are under.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his buddy were in, and they go to these conspiracy conventions and stuff, and they love doing it. But Wayne's no dummy. He was an NSA guy. He was around, and then he can give you a chapter and verse and everything went on in the Nixon administration. And who did what and where and what got him, and if this wouldn't happen. So, I mean, it's not like these guys aren't well-read.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, everybody knew there was a problem with Hastert, who really looked. And I go, why would you ever know? He goes, because every year these congressmen go on these junkets. And they can go to, you know, and if a congressman wants to go to, say, Israel, and puts his name on a list, Well, AIPAC will probably take him anyway, but he can go there. Or remember Pelosi and a group just went to where? Libya or North Africa or someplace. He said every year, Pastor.
You go to Thailand?
And some guy, yeah, some guy from California went to Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so out of the, and everybody just said, why are they going to Thailand? There's only one reason. And they were onto it. I mean, it was long before he came back here, and that was, well, my point is, they're not the only guys, Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people know this stuff about people in Washington. Evidently, they have nothing else to do mm-hmm. but to find out all this stuff about people. You know, it's not our world. You and I from the South Side, when I hear this kind of stuff, I'm like, I'm amazed.
I am too. That's why it seems so incredulous to me that.
Well, it does me too. I'm just saying, it doesn't mean it's not true. It just means you and I grew up in a sheltered area.
In a different world.
In a different world. I mean, you didn't follow your neighbor around all day to find out what he did at his lunchtime. But apparently that's what they do in Washington. You know, and if somebody has a weakness, you exploit it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's not the way we were brought up.
Well, also the fact that nobody is perfect. We all have our own
right.
little things that could trip us up. But, you know, when you're talking about how things have changed, you compared Gary Hart, where he just said, you know, come on, press, follow me if you really think that I'm doing something wrong. Here's a challenge, follow me. And they did. And they found Donna Rice on Monkey Business with him. But in contrast, you now have people who are flaunting their sexual prowess. I mean, the president did that. The woman in California who just resigned, Katie Hill, was caught the same way.
What did she do wrong? What am I missing? The staffer was over 18, right?
Yeah, but it's it has a sense of impropriety to have a sexual relationship with somebody on your staff, which apparently she did. She, I think there was a person who was an intern and also a staffer, somebody from her campaign staff, and one was a male, one was a female. And Katie Hill, the U.S. representative, identifies as bisexual.
She's not married. They're not married.
She is married.
Oh, okay.
She is married. And, in fact, one of the claims right now is that she's going through a contentious divorce, and she's claiming that her husband, as part of the divorce process, is the one who released these photos of at least her with the woman staffer.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Mm-hmm.
God, it is a different world than ours, isn't it?
Yep.
As my uncle told me once, he goes, the way we're going in this country, we're going to screw up sex. Is he right? As you know, Brennan, I came from the same area as you. This is so mind-boggling to me, I can't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That we can't, but now, this thing with Trump now, the people have decided, and this is one of the things that I hope, you know, I don't care if he's there 4 years, 8 years, or next week. We don't need this. If I like the guy, he gets to do whatever he wants.
Right. I don't like that either.
I mean, we've got you know, we've got they don't really care what the guy does, and yet you can't have people being thrown out of CFO positions because they grabbed, he had too much a drink and grabbed one girl's behind at a Christmas party,
mm-hmm.
and the president saying he did this, that, and the other thing, he can do whatever he wants, and lie and have no regard for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I like him. It's okay. That's just him.
Well, you know, the recent arguments that are being made in court on behalf of other folks about the reach of executive privilege is mind-boggling. To think, again, that they're protecting the president from alleged allegations and not even allowing for investigations. That, to me, is completely abhorrent. And it's also the kind of stuff, again, a guy like Lindsey Graham was railing against during the Clinton administration and the Clinton impeachment proceedings. it would be amazing to me if you know, just listen to the words of Lindsey Graham, just play a tape of him without video and listen to what he has said and try to apply that in the current environment. It's shocking to me that he can, with a straight face, say some of the things he's doing right now.
Well, Brennan, how much is an attorney? And again, I didn't take one law school class. Well, I could have been in Chicago, I guess, but I didn't. I took them all in the economics school, and look what it made me. I should have taken a law school class.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this stuff is, I'll use the term undefined. I mean, I read something last week, of course, I could never find it in my email stuff, from John Adams. It's something about this Constitution, if people lose their religions, you know, I didn't care which one it was, lose their religions and their morals, this piece of paper isn't worth the basically the powder it takes to blow it up.
Oh, right.
Because if you don't have that, this thing is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And now, one thing I will say, hopefully it'll end up positively with Trump, is he's opening up areas because of his absurd personality that we never knew we would go.
Yeah, we never thought we would go. And you're right. If you look at the Federalist Papers, they talk about the abuse of power, that somebody who has a certain proclivity in his approach to governing could really abuse the system, which goes counter to the idea of the fact that, for example, the president and vice president are excluded from certain conflict of interest laws that apply to the Senate and other government officials, because it was never thought that somebody would abuse their power, and they didn't have to cover that. They wanted to give the executive office some leeway to make decisions without being fettered by the political process of getting approval by Congress. That's been going on at least since 1960, when John F. Kennedy was elected. Remember the book, The Imperial Presidency, and how there's been a transfer of powers to the president over the years. But nobody ever assumed that there would be a person of the moral character of the current president.
Well, you know, I read something on this where somebody who claims he was a constitutional historian, and in his opinion, I think it was a he, his opinion, that's one of the Constitution's weakest areas, and the reason why is because they all knew George Washington would be the first president, and they knew they didn't need any of that stuff for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was honest as the day is long and would never pull any of that crap off.
Yeah.
And so they essentially wrote it thinking, well, here's our guy. They'll all be like him. And,
mm-hmm.
and guess what?
They're not.
I don't think there's much comparison between this guy and George Washington. Just saying. Mm-hmm. But, and then there's probably been some along the way. It's not just, but I mean, what's very similar, Brandon, to me is, my industry. I mean, the things you see now, they would never, the idea of somebody selling order flow, the idea mm-hmm. of somebody taking your order and selling it to the highest bidder, to essentially shopping the trade instead of getting you the best trade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've tried to cover it up with these wacky rules for reporting and best bid and best offer, but they're so ignorant they don't realize that once you destroy the system, the best bid and best offer is way worse than it would have been otherwise.
Right.
I mean, I have people on the show, and I will say that I think I'm right on this. And of course I'm not totally right, because There's slants in some of the exchange acts of 33 and 34 about the SEC being able to regulate and define and make rules and stuff. The fact is, Brennan, there's never has been an insider trading law passed
mm-hmm.
where people elected office defined what insider trading is.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on who you are and where you are, you get to define it any way you damn well please if you're big enough.
Well, there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is that if you're very specific, the more specific you are, the harder it is to convict for a crime, because there will always be ways to get around that and to say this is different than that. And that's why you look for court precedents as far as how to determine what words mean in the context of a statute. But also the more definitive you are, the easier it is to find exceptions for that. That's why you get a lot of the things by saying and or in a case, you know, or in a contract. You know, you have a litany of things and say and then another thing. And if that's challenged, then you have to have at least two components. If you say and or, it means you can look at any of those components individually or collectively.
But the case law, we had two people, and this is years ago, convicted in Wisconsin from reading the Business Week the night before it was published.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, every single time the Fed does a trade with Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs can trade ahead of that. They can go out and buy the bonds and turn around and sell them to the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by definition, how could that be any more than insider trading, knowing you got a buyer on your left shoulder when you're buying them on your right shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
SP futures down 175. NASDAQ futures now up 375. We've been up and down, but I think we'll be up today like we will be every day. The Fed doing what they're doing. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Brendan Cornan, she's AV on the board. S&P futures down 175. NASDAQ futures up 375. Individual stocks, we got Google down $10. It was down a lot more than that last night, but came flying back. Amazon, I think, is up after being down like 100 and some dollars. I think it's at least equal to where it was before its earnings came out. So can't keep this market down with the Fed doing what they're doing. However, you can keep Beyond Meat down. 85.75 down $20. Ouch, I think it was 250 6 months ago. That's been quite the U-turn. In the Dow, I see nothing really moving. I got Pfizer up 117, and we got Merck up 225. So both drug companies did well. You know, Brendan, you know, it used to be when a company did well, I cheered, and now when I see drug companies do well, I just think you find a way to squeeze more money out of people. people that aren't making any more money. Well, it doesn't mean I'm a socialist. I'm not. But I don't know if it's right either. The monopolists just keep moving here. We got to find a way to go back to a competitive economy without being socialist. How can we do that? Is there a way?
Be really challenging. It's going to be really challenging. I don't know if we're at a point yet where we can do that. But when you look at certain corporations, like
why don't you hold that thought? We'll go into this before Dow Futures down 42. I'm in the middle of traffic, whether it's sports or not, I already started a conversation. That's how good I am at this. DAX down seven bucks, call that flat. FTSE down 48, that's 0.7%. CAC round up 3, call that flat. So anyone doing over there is anything is a FTSE. Nikkei up 106.5%, Shanghai down 25.8, Hang Seng down 104.4. Bonds, and the big curiosity here, Japan up to minus 0.11. On our way towards zero, that's more than halfway back. One down minus 0.34, our stuff 1.83. So really, we're closer to 2% now than we are to the 1.48 it got down to. Oil down 72 cents now, Brent down 50 cents. Natural gas up a dime, 2.55. So up from the 2.28, I think was the low there. Gold down 6.50, 14.89. Silver down 22 cents, back under 18 bucks at 17.65. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, and don't say more rain, for God's sake.
Yes, it's going to be more and more. Good morning, our dear listeners. It is 39 Fahrenheit currently in Chicago. Drizzling, expect some rains later. It is like 80% chances, so looks like we're going to get wet. And the highest of the day will be 44, the lowest 38. In Phoenix, very nice, sunny, clear day. As always, the highest will be 74, the lowest 47. In traffic, there is a couple of accidents reported. One is on I-55 before the First Avenue. The right lane is blocked, so it might may cause significant delays. Another accident reported on the Lakeshore Drive southbound at Chicago Avenue. It says the car was facing the wrong way. And overall, the traffic volume is getting heavier. So expect delays, as always, on the busiest highways. It's 94, both directions, Eisenhower, Stevenson Expressway, downtown. Yes, that's what I got.
So what do you think, Brendan, that AV has decided that she's getting herself ready for winter, right? So every day we get some huge box in the office with, like, boots or winter coats or whatever.
Not she's every like, day.
Well, all right, once every other day. And she's stocking up for the winter. What do you think?
We're a long way from winter.
Wasn't last year like November our coldest month?
Was it really?
It was in January. It was winter.
Well, that's right. We had that 3 days November in a row where it was, like, minus 21 or something. But November is when the see how I know this stuff?
That's just practice for a real winter.
No, and you know what?
You have to get a couple of days like that in October, November, and even early December to forewarn you as to what, you know, a couple of days like that where it's in the teens or snowing in November reminds you what you have to buy when winter comes for real.
This is how I remember, Brendan, obviously AV remembers the actual temperature. I remember natural gas poking over $3 in November. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And never coming back. So it scared the hell out of everybody, the early winter. And then I think we had a mild December and it went way back down.
Mm-hmm.
And even the 3 days of 21 below, didn't get it back up over the November high.
Mm-hmm.
So my history of the world is through commodity prices. What is that? That explains a lot, doesn't it?
It sure does.
we see the, let's open up this topic, Brendan. We see the Democrats and Elizabeth Warren, who I don't know where the hell she came from, but and they're pushing this more and more taxes, and somehow the being rich is bad, and all these other kinds of things are bad, and the other side is pretending like there's nothing wrong,
mm-hmm.
and yet I think there are a lot of things wrong, but the idea of a socialist society makes my hair in the back of my neck not only stand up but want to twitch. I don't want any part of that. And yet, I see, I don't even, how do I even define the economy we have now? When you have a, when you have, you know, your drug companies, there's like two big ones left, two, three, four, or whatever, and then all of a sudden, anybody small who has a drug, they buy up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. What is that? That's not. It's not socialism, but it's sure not competition. I mean, I wish people on TV and radio and in the financial press would go back to school for 1 month and learn the difference between a competitive marketplace and capitalism.
Okay, this goes back to the same thing that we were talking about maybe a month, 6 weeks ago, when Jeff was here, the duopolies in the country. When you know, and it was a time when we thought from a business perspective that consolidation of companies, a lot of mergers and acquisitions took place for market efficiency, that it bigger is better. And bigger is better up to a point. So long as there's true competition, if you have five companies, five big companies, that's going to be fairly competitive if there's a really free and fair market. If you have two companies, then there can be more, I don't want to say games being played, but, you know, or manipulation of the market, but effectively it is that they kind of can dance around each other in a way that, that raises their profit to the detriment of the public.
You're talking, you would define a combination and restraint of trade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wasn't that the Clayton Act?
Yeah, I think it is a Clayton
Act. Yeah, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. But yes, I mean, and you remember when Jeff was on and he talked about the myth of capitalism, was talking about that when you have a consolidation in industry, then it's easier for even unspoken communication between companies, but they can jockey their positions on things like their prices without actual collaboration. If you have five or ten fairly equal-sized companies, there is more true competition because you can't really manipulate the pricing as much. But I think that's where it's heading. That when you look at just a few pharmaceutical companies, for example, the fewer there are, the easier it is for them to set the prices on their products.
Well, I one of the things that Milton Friedman sort of wished that he had the time to do, he was absolutely convinced that once you reach a certain size, to get any bigger, you become less efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm looking here at Pfizer, the part of, they found, acquisition. They merged with Pharmacia. Okay. They bought, Searle, right? Then they bought Upjohn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are all real companies. They were good size. And then they tried to get Greenstone. I mean, I'm just kind of reading this, going through this real quick. They grabbed Wyeth. Was huge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are, and Merck is the same way. I mean, didn't they do Squibb and, who else did they do? Was it, I don't know, I'll have a little bit of a report on this tomorrow. So I mean, there's like you reach the point where you're not competitive. And basically all you're doing now is a lot of the renovation is coming from other places. And your job, once you get two or three places on patent, is to have, is to basically get everybody else's products together. And you work hand in glove with government, even though they will tell you they aren't, to make getting a drug through the FDA so incredibly expensive that only two or three people can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And the cost of that justifies the higher price on aspirin or whatever it is.
Yeah. And then as soon as things became generic, which was a short-term fix, a lot of these places went and bought all the generic places.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't. I mean, one of my listeners wrote in. He said he paid $750 for a prescription here at Walgreens, and he was traveling in Ireland. He got it filled in Ireland. It was $150.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see how you even begin to do that. I mean. I mean, when you talk about, like Carl talks about when I started the show with, the increase in medical expenses in this country, for God's sake, Brennan, how can there be no, after all these years, when you have a drug that gets a patent, We talk about some of the things Trump has opened up the scabs on.
Mm-hmm.
What there is absolutely no guidance anywhere on how much you can charge for it. None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
How can that even be?
Well, there was an article. Where was it? It was in one of the newspapers. I don't remember if it was like the Wall Street Journal or the Chicago Tribune a couple months ago, where they were talking about price of pharmaceuticals. And they picked, for example, Viagra, the drug Viagra. And like 10 years ago, you could get a 10-pill supply for something like $5 or $10 a pill. And now it's over $100 a pill.
No, Viagra was always $40 a pill.
Okay, but it's much higher now. It's exponentially higher right now.
But there's generics.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. But, I mean, just the cost of it, even the generics, I think, are much higher than Viagra used to cost, according to this article.
Actually, I use that as an example. I've been using it since I started this show. Who was it? Was it Pfizer? Who's Viagra?
Pfizer.
Okay, so they got a 17-year patent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been $40 or $45 a pill the whole way. And the interesting part was, remember the commercial when they had the lady with the incredible, the beautiful woman with the incredible luggage?
Mm-hmm.
And there was the guy, and she dropped the pill on his nightstand. Well, evidently, I have no experience. Evidently, there's a 25 size, a 50 size, and a 100 size, but they only make them in capsules. So if you, let's say, I'll use the term, if you need the 50 to perform adequately, why I'm going down this road, I don't know. You can't just buy 100 and cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
They were very clever that you couldn't do that. And the difference in price between the two was very small. So it almost didn't matter whether you got the 50 or the 100. So she's giving this guy the 100. She must have been ready for whatever. But they ended up somehow, Brandon, you know more about this than me, they managed to get another 2 years put on the patent. So they ended up getting it for 19 years instead of 17. When, how you do that, I don't know. That's a Brendan question. And so, and then finally when it went off generic, they went off the same time as, what was the other one? The Weekender.
What, Cialis?
Yeah, because the two of them had the commercials on. And one had better looking women than the next, right?
Yeah, and Cialis was the one with the people in the tubs.
Yeah, yeah.
And overlooking at the sunset.
Right. And they had, but now those guys, when they went off patent, they stopped advertising.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I won't say a huge, but they were a solid percentage of CNBC's advertising. And I think they were $50 million to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, nothing. The minute they went finally off. But the generics are $5 a pill or something along those lines, because I traced it afterward. So let's get this straight. For 19 years, Brendan, $40 a pill. How many pills do you think they sold in 19 years?
Millions.
Was over what it cost anybody to actually produce the damn
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm going to say, I'll go out on a limb here, I'll bet anybody that the amount they spent on advertising in the last year is more than it cost to develop the thing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they will tell me, oh man, you got to pay for all these other drugs. Bull bleep. So where do we go with this? The only reason why, in my mind, a government should ever get involved in pricing anything is when you just gave somebody a monopoly.
Yeah.
You can't be in for a penny, not for a pound. I mean, mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And anybody who wants to get the history of this, and I know I bore people when I say this, look at railroads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a railroad. Brennan walks up with his bushel of corn. How much for the corn to move it to the next town? How much you got?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't do that. You just gave somebody the railroad, and you can't use that as a way to get all the money out of everybody else in the area. You've got to have a way to deal with that, because you're the one who gave the monopoly. If you didn't, then you wouldn't have to worry about it, right?
Right.
If there was five railroads, you wouldn't have to worry about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not what you gave there. You gave one.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden, how do you just drop one of these things on there? Man, I think now it's even worse, Brendan, because most people don't pay directly for their drugs. Insurance does. So somebody, if it was a hula hoop, let's say, back when you and I were kids, and the hula hoop was $4 or $5, your parents or mine might say, all right, I'll get this goofy kid a hula hoop if that's what he's whining about. If it was $25, they'd say, you're sitting this one out. Because we didn't need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a drug, it's available, and somebody's in pain, it's a loved one, you need it. If right. it's for yourself, maybe not. But if it's for your wife or girlfriend or your dog, you're going to pay for it. Right? Mm-hmm. But that's the way people are. So all of a sudden, it's way more dangerous because the person consuming it can actually throw the price of it onto other people.
Yep.
I mean, the whole way, economically, I just almost wish I need to get the people in a room and say, this is how this all works. Or not me. Get a professor. Get somebody like our buddy on Wednesday, Russell. This is how this all works. This is how it connects. Don't you guys understand this? You can't just do one thing and then let it sit for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I'm on a soapbox here, but where do we got to get somebody, an adult in the room, and say, what are we doing?
Well, it's not just getting an adult in the room. It's getting many adults in the room who can push back against the lobbying cost. You know, the pharmaceutical industry is one. The airline industry is another one. The automobile industry is another one. Oil industry is another one. That pays millions of dollars a year for lobbyists to put things in or take things out of bills that would hurt or harm them, respectively.
Yeah, but nothing is more dangerous economically than the drug industry, the medical industry, because you don't pay directly. If General Motors decides to charge $80,000 for a car, you're going to say, I'm getting a motorcycle or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can deal with that yourself to mm-hmm. a certain extent. Now, if there was one car company, maybe not. You know, they can still steal something.
Right? No, but my point is not the industry, but the fact that there are lobbyists who are in the room or knocking on the door with a bushel full of money that takes away whatever the identity or the thought process is for the adults in the room. The money is so great to get them elected or to finance their opponents that they won't take the stand that you're talking about right now, no matter how much they believe it is the right thing to do.
All right, in my estimation, again, with a man who's never taken a law course, the single biggest shortcoming in our Constitution is that they didn't anticipate the modern corporation. They didn't anticipate essentially a being that never died.
Mm-hmm.
And that you actually can now buy everybody in Congress. Where in those days, guys sitting there when it was 4 days ride from I never rode much, between from New York to South Carolina, the thought of you and I influencing an election living in South Carolina and New Hampshire never even crossed their mind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how do you fix that? You got 4 minutes.
Gee, I have plenty of time to do that. Well, I mean, you're right. A lot of it is an unanticipated consequence. I mean, the same argument goes for the Second Amendment right to bear arms. But also what you're talking about right now with the corporations is the crux behind the Citizens United case, that corporations have the ability, just like people do, individuals do, to have freedom of speech, to be protected speech, and the right to put in a lot of money. And it's not somebody who has a life expectancy of 80 years or 40 years or something, but it goes on indefinitely, and that is a problem. How do you fix that? Well, you overrule Citizens United. You take away some of enough people in Congress with the courage to turn away lobbyists and don't listen to lobbyists and don't take money from lobbyists. And then the problem gets compounded because their opponents will, whether it's in a primary or in a general election, and it compounds itself.
What would you do when, say you and I were running for a representative, U.S. representative in, name a place, Joe Davies County or some damn place, and you're a rancher guy and want cows to be able to walk across the street, and I'm a development guy, and we fight against each other. You know what, Brendan? I think that's that's America. That's the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
If 90% of the money comes from outside of that county for that campaign, I got a real problem with it. I don't think these guys ever anticipated you and I in South Carolina trying to wing money up to a district in New Hampshire to influence it.
Well, that's exactly what happened in November last year. How much of Beto O'Rourke's campaign funds came from outside of Texas? Came out, even within Texas, how much of them came out from outside of his district?
Right.
I mean, I remember reading stories, and I know people from Illinois who said, we're contributing to Beto O'Rourke's campaign because he's got a good chance to unseat Ted Cruz. And how much of those, you know, if you look at things on the Republican side, like the Koch brothers, who financed a lot of money for Republican candidates, and it's on both sides. I'm not
right. Oh yeah.
I mean, it no one side is.
Well, I'm a little more. I didn't even think of a Senate campaign. I'm talking about a House campaign where it's obvious it's this 80,000 people that are electing mm-hmm. this guy. It should be them. Now, a state size of Texas, I don't know how you keep the money from only inside the state. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying the discipline on that I find would be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Right. But in the O'Rourke campaign, a large percentage of his funds came from outside of Texas.
Okay.
So it's just a higher scale of what you're talking about on a House level. But you're
just,
right.
It just seemed, I guess why I'm pushing the House side is not because I'm arguing with it. I'm just saying, when in the House side, it seems to me the numbers are even more skewed.
Well, they are.
It's each side is spending, you know, $500,000. It's a million, and 900,000 of it's coming from outside the district. It seems like the relationship's even worse.
You're right. And one of the examples of that was the Matt Lamb campaign in Pennsylvania last time, where here was a guy who could flip a Republican seat that it was close, but not that close. And yet he had the money coming in from outside of Pennsylvania, outside of his district, to fund a lot of his commercials. And he won. It was a huge upset for the Democrats to win that seat. And I think that happened a lot in areas. And likewise, you know, in it works the other way, too. There are places where Republicans contribute a lot of money to try to flip a seat in the Democratic areas.
I'm going to ask the question. Why do you think, in our day, you know, I won't say our day is gone. I hope it isn't. On the South Side, where we grew up, I'm going to say that if you and I were running for something and you got all these commercials and blah, 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 all I would have to do is make one commercial and say, check the internet. Brennan got all this dough from people not in this district. He has to go outside. Do you really want your district being bought by somebody outside?
This is a carpetbagger. He may not be a physical carpetbagger, but his support is all from outside.
You're dead and I'm winning.
He ain't your guy.
Yeah. I mean, you're dead and I'm winning. Mm-hmm. If it was true, and obviously if people went to your website and found out that out of $5 million, $4 million was outside the place, why hasn't the populace rejected this crap?
Mm-hmm. Because it's come down to really mean partisan politics that our guy has to win.
No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what's, that's a big area.
Mm-hmm. That's what I see is playing out right now on the national stage.
You know, the Bears have to win, even if, you know, 11 guys in the stands pull up guns and shoot the other team and they forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have to win. You don't have to do, you know, that's what you got to do. You don't deserve it. You and I have rules.
Yep.
Anyway, S&P futures down 175. NASDAQ futures up 675. This will be interesting with the Fed. I think it's going to be one of the most interesting meetings in a while. I'm going to be glued to that press conference tomorrow. But we'll be back tomorrow. Talk about before, and on Thursday we'll talk about after. Should be an interesting week.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.